Welcome to Hockey Night in New York, where Islanders hockey always reigns supreme. Whether you were raised at the barn in Uniondale or born in the stable at Belmont, Hockey Night in New York is your home for all things Isles. Now, let's drop the puck and get this party started.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Hockey Night in New York. Welcome to the program, everyone. It is Sunday, March 17th, 2024, St. Patrick's Day, coming at you live from RJ Daniels in Rockville Center. Big, big show coming up for you tonight. A little pregame show for Islanders-Rangers at 1 p.m. I got Mikey Carver here as my guest co-host. That's right, buddy. We got the Rangers Ed fellas joining us a little bit later to talk Rangers, and of course Stefan Rosner will be calling in, my typical co-host, my common co-host, calling in from MSG to talk Isles in about 15 minutes. But thank you so much for joining us here at RJ Daniels and twitch.tv/hockeynightny. MC Edzo, how we doing here, fellas?
We're doing great. Hopefully this doesn't feedback too much, but we'll try to keep it minimalized.
MC, how you been, man?
It's been a long time.
It's sure. Has.
Good to be back in the arena a little bit here.
Right.
With the Islanders and the Rangers today, which we always love.
So. You are looking sharp, pal.
Well, it's
I mean, that is a great jacket.
I mean, if there's only probably 2 or 3 days a year you could wear this thing, and this is one of them.
What's so the other one?
Random. We find ways to do it.
All right, maybe your birthday? Okay.
Maybe your birthday. Something.
All right, fair enough. Well, before we dive into everything, I want to remind everybody about our wonderful sponsors, starting with Blue Line Deli and Bagel. Satisfy your hunger at 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington and 217 Carlton Avenue in Islip. Check out the menu at BlueLineDeli.com. Also proud to be sponsored by Main Street Board Game Cafe. Find your crowd and unplug your game at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. And also proud to be sponsored by Razor and Kniff Attorneys at Law, ready to fight for you. Check them out at RazorandKniff.com. That's RaiserandKniff.com for a free consultation. And if you're hanging out with us in the chat and Twitch, just make sure you say questions brewing before any questions you have for our question segment later on, and then fire away with whatever questions you got. We'll do that later in the show. So with all the pleasantries out of the way, Michael Carver, the Islanders were riding a 6-game winning streak. Now they are riding a 3-game losing streak. What the hell happened?
It's a good question, but I think it kind of goes back to what we've looked at all year. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride all the way through, and they've had ups, they've had downs. You thought at the 6-game winning streak, all right, we're going to be able to do Philly selling, Detroit's on losing streak,
right.
Everyone's going to push up.
Right.
But Islanders went back to what they do. Not scoring goals.
Right. Shut out in back-to-back games.
Taking bad penalties.
Right.
Some bad, you know, things like that. Penalties in overtime. Not going to help you.
Right.
So that's why, as excited as we got during the 6-game winning streak,
yeah,
we do have to remember there's still a lot of the team that we saw from October through February that's still in this team.
Right. I think that's the big concern. And, you know, I was looking at the L.A. game and saying, you know what, that's an earned loss. Second of back-to-backs, they had the 6-game winning streak. Like, that's one you forgive if it happens. It does. They played all right. They couldn't put the puck in the net. But you're like, okay, end of the West Coast swing. They beat the two teams they were supposed to beat. Again, an earned loss there. That was all right. But
you can't complain about it.
But you have a couple of days off. You go into Buffalo, a team that's been playing better of late, but a team you got to beat. You're ahead of them in the standings. You got to push them back into the, you know, the draft situation, the lottery situation, and keep pace with these three teams that you're chasing in Detroit, Tampa, and of course Philadelphia, and they just lay a complete egg.
It's three inexcusable points lost when you look at Buffalo,
right,
and when you look at yesterday. Because like you said, these are teams that you have to beat. These are teams that are below you. When you get opportunities, there's only a handful of games left. 15 to 20 games left.
Games.
16 for the Isles. Yeah. Some are 14, some are 15. When you have this many games left, and you have teams that you're better than, can't drop points.
Of course.
I don't care how well Buffalo's been playing. It was a gutless performance.
Gutless.
They didn't even play well at all.
No,
you
Buffalo dominated that
like
game.
That,
they dominated that game. Yeah.
I don't want to hear about end of trips. Get 2 days off.
Yeah, 2 days off.
There's no excuse.
No, you're right. You're absolutely
no
right. They came back east.
Either.
And you look at the shot totals, the first and second period, they were dominated there. I think they fired back a little bit in the third, but all in all, just a very disappointing effort from a team who looked hungry during that winning streak. Like, they finally understood where where they were. Things were clicking. Patrick Waugh made those line changes. They started working out great. You had guys like Kyle Palmieri scoring some goals, Andrews Lee, J.G. Pageau getting his name mentioned. I feel like he's been silent nearly all season, and you're feeling pretty good. And you just think they get those 2 days to reset. They're playing a team like Buffalo, yes, in Buffalo, but just for them to come out as flat as they did with the effort that they did, and it kind of takes away a good portion of the goodwill that they earned from that winning streak. Not all of it, but
it definitely sours it. It takes away a lot of it because you thought that you were going in one direction.
Right.
And now you kind of think that you're kind of just back in the mix. Are you really better than these other teams?
Right.
We're not too sure. I thought they were at the end of that 6-game winning streak, but I'm not so sure anymore.
No, for sure. Well, look, I mean, if we look back on the games this week, the Anaheim game does count. That goes back to Sunday. So that's basically the only positive out of this past week. You got 3 goals in the first period, 3 in the third. They weather a storm in the second where Anaheim kind of took it to them a little bit. They end up getting through that. So that's a big 6-1 win. That caps off the winning streak. I don't know if you have anything to add there, but that was pretty much where the positives end at the early going of this week.
Rocking chair game.
Rocking chair game.
Throw that all around all the time back in the day. Rocking chair game. That's a game where you could turn the TV off. 2 points are in the
okay,
bag.
Okay, I like that.
Don't worry about it. Okay. That's what that Anaheim game was.
But did you think it was one of those games going into it?
Well, no. You never think.
Right, exactly.
I don't think you could ever think with this team that that's a possibility.
That's my point, yeah.
But they gave you one.
Right.
Where it was nice. It was a Sunday night. It was late.
And Two in a row.
You could shut the TV off and go to bed a little early on a Sunday.
There you go.
So that was good.
I like it. Rocking chair game. I'd have to steal that one. And then, of course, they go into L.A., second of back-to-backs, like we said. They couldn't solve Riddich. They had some chances. They played L.A. all right. It wasn't the sleeper that
they
it was against Buffalo.
They gave them every chance in the world.
Right.
2 power plays in the third period. You had the 5-on-3 in the first.
Right. Yep.
They just had every chance they had, and they couldn't beat that dopey goalie on
and
the
And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. You come across a goaltender that just gets hot, or you just can't beat him. You know, you're putting the pucks in his chest. Maybe you're hitting a post or two. You know, whatever the case. And it just didn't work out. I didn't mind the effort so much against L.A. The score looked worse than it was, you know, with the 3-0 result. But, again, I think that's a game you forgive the Islanders for.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I said that afterwards. I stayed up late and watched that one on Monday night. So I remember those 2 power plays in the third. Like, all right, they're giving him a shot. But you can go away from that thinking exactly that. This was a great trip. They've won 6 games in a row. We're done. But it's the rest of the week, as you mentioned before. That's the problem. That is what you can't have at this time of the season.
Right, and it just puts such a bigger emphasis on today's game. Ooh. Because if the Islanders take 2 points against Ottawa yesterday, maybe you hope for at least an overtime point, which the Islanders are so good at getting this year.
It's wins or nothing.
Wins or nothing.
No, wins or nothing. There's no more moral victories. There's none of that stuff. This is it. There's a month less than a month left in the regular season.
Yeah.
Every point matters. There's no walk away, feel good about. There's none of that. Yesterday's not that. And if it's 1 point today, it's not that either. It's 2 points every time you take the ice going forward.
I like that's the it. Attitude. I definitely do. I mean, look,
I'm not saying they're getting it.
Right.
I'm saying that's the mindset you got to have.
We'll worry about predictions later on. Hey, look who it is. It's J-Bone from Floor Media. How we doing, pal? Thumbs up. He's smiling. He's awake. Look at that. But, yeah, listen, obviously today becomes even bigger. We'll go into the games coming ahead. But just before we dive into that, you look at just how this week went, and maybe you try to find the reasons why they might have lost these games aside from the efforts. But the power play went 1-for-12 in those 3 losses. You talk about the 5-on-3 earlier in the week. Power play has been something they've been able to rely on throughout the season. Kind of just fell flat, and then we already know the PK has just been dreadful all year.
I think that this year you have seen them turn the corner a little bit on the power play.
Yes.
You haven't had as much to get upset about as you have in the past with the power play, but you know, you traded that in for now like the worst penalty kill in the league.
Exactly.
So that's a tough trade-off. I think I'd almost rather have the top third penalty kill and the power play just stink than the other way around.
I agree with that.
Especially with the way they score 5-on-5 now. They're a better team scoring 5-on-5.
That's true.
So if they had their same power play issues that they had under Trotz, I think they'd be a much better team than they are.
No, I
I agree. And the PK, they gave, what, 3 goals on 10 chances. So, I mean, you're talking, what, that's a 70% success rate for the penalty kill. So, it's still baffling to me that we're this deep into the season and they haven't been able to figure it out because, you know, they have a lot of the same guys that have been on this roster now for years under Barry Trotz. We always kind of look back at this. But why this team can't figure out the PK man down? We're down to 16 games left in the season, and it's still, you know, you see the penalty being called, and you're like, oh man, there's a good chance there's a puck going in the net here.
Oh, I don't feel good when they're on the penalty.
You feel bad.
But we've seen it in so many big spots too. Yesterday in overtime, last time you played the Rangers outdoors at MetLife.
Oh yeah, we remember that.
Penalty kill that day. Penalty kill has cost them.
That was the Scott Mayfield Memorial game.
You want to say double digit points this year? Penalty kill has cost them in major spots. Last 5 minutes of regulation and in overtime. That's how much it's cost them this year.
Oh, no question about it. And what do they have, 15 or 16 overtime loss points now? I mean, you just split that in half.
Yeah.
And in half.
They're 6 points up.
Yeah.
In
they're
third.
Comfortable.
They're comfortable.
Right.
They're in great shape.
It's crazy. And just the way the penalty kill has let them down is baffling to me.
I like Wah a lot.
I want to get your opinion on Patrick Wah. I haven't heard your opinion yet, so let's hear it.
Because you know how upset I was when the Barry thing happened. However it went down.
Me and you both.
However it
Absolutely.
Went down, whether it was his decision or Lou doing him a favor, whatever the deal was, went down very poorly. And you just don't let Hall of Fame coaches walk out the door.
No.
You just don't absolutely do that.
Right.
I didn't really love Lane. I thought it was kind of vanilla. It was whatever. Mm-hmm. It was off the Barry tree. It was trying to keep things consistent.
Sure.
I love this breath of fresh air. In fact, I'm stunned that Lou even hired this guy. Considering
oh, yeah.
how
Everybody
much he
was.
Speaks his mind.
Right.
He lets you know what's going on, and he tells you like it is. And he's mm-hmm. like, that is something that we haven't seen around here forever.
That's a good point.
So it's really interesting to see. I love it long term.
Yeah.
I hope it's going to be a long term thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear if they don't make it. Well, maybe they should clean house. Like, you know, Lou be out, and somebody else comes in. Maybe they don't like Patrick Wah. There's a lot of people who don't like Patrick Wah.
Right.
Don't like
he is a polarizing figure.
So now it's almost like if you want him to stay as the coach, are you hoping Lou's still around? And don't they miss the playoffs? I think there's a lot of questions that get asked. But I like him a lot. I think he brings energy. You know, he changes things up pretty quickly. Like I said, I love how he speaks his mind. So I'm a big fan of the Wah. We need some new assistants, preferably one that can coach the penalty kill.
You got to figure there's going to be some shuffling of the deck this summer.
Kill.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's easy to find a scapegoat in the assistant coaches, right? You had it with Gomez in the power play.
Everybody
who was a power play. John McClain last year, now all of a sudden he's a genius. And now, of course, Doug Huda gets under the radar.
Guy, but Hiller was a guru, and now he's
coaching
the
coach
Kings.
In L.A., yeah.
So he's, everybody's a guru.
It's funny. But listen, we got a break because Stefan Raza is going to be joining us. So I want to thank everybody here at RJ Daniels for hanging out with us. How we doing out there, folks? Yeah, love to hear it. All right. We got the Rangers Ed boys here. We got some Stranger fans in here. That's all right. We're all going to get along. So, folks, all you at home, I want to thank you for tuning in to twitch.tv/HockeyNightNY. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Stefan Rosner calling in from MSG.
If you're an Islander fan, there's nothing like a big win, a tasty meal, and great company. And Blue Line Deli and Bagels provides all that and more. Owned and operated by diehard Islander fans, Blue Line Deli and Bagels happily serves Bagel Boss bagels and a full menu of delicious food and beverages. Whether it's breakfast favorites like pancakes and omelets, specialty heroes and wraps like the Hat Trick and the Hip Check, or fresh-made coffee and smoothies, Blue Line Deli and Bagels has you covered. So stop on in to the flagship location at 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington or the new spot at 217 Carlton Avenue in East Islip for their familiar friendly service and the best food around. And don't forget, you can always check out the menu and order online at BlueLineDeli.com or pick up the phone and call 631-944-3222. Blue Line Deli and Bagels. Our goal is to make you a hero.
Thanks for giving some time to our sponsors. Ready to talk more aisles? The train rolls on right here on Hockey Night in New York.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We're here at RJ Daniels for the St. Patrick's Day Bash, Islanders versus Rangers. Thanks for tuning in at twitch.tv/hockey.ny. And joining us on the line right now, the co-host of Hockey Night New York Live from MSG, Mr. Stefan Rosner. Stefan, how you doing, bud?
Yes, we do, Stefan. Line changes indeed. Why don't you give us a little bit up on that? You were a little low on the headphones there, so I didn't get everything you had there. But why don't you just rattle through what you were presenting there?
Yeah, so at the end of last game, the 4-3 3-3 overtime with the Ottawa Senators. Patrick Roy made line and separated Barzal and Horvat. What will happen today? Barzal will skate with Pajabi. Palmieri will skate with Nelson. And the last two goals, Nelson's at court. Horvat's had the primary assist on both. And the last two goals at Horvat's, Nelson's had the primary assist. So we'll see how it works. We'll see how long those last. But Roy wasn't happy, obviously, with the production of his sticks as of late. So we'll see if these new lines have some juice.
For sure, for sure. And just before you came on, Mikey and I were talking about how the power play kind of went dormant here during this little mini losing streak here. What are you seeing out there that has the power play struggling?
Yeah, they're trying to do too much. I think when you're not playing in 5-on-5, that puts some added pressure, powerfully having to come through and be that clutch, I guess, for the offense. But yeah, just passing too much. The break, their zone entries haven't been great. They've allowed a lot of chances against. But yeah, they're too, you know, they're going for that huge goal. We can't afford to do that right now.
Hi, Stefan. How are you? Good. I'm a little surprised. You know, I thought the dedication would be there that you'd go talk to Wah, jump on the Long Island Railroad, get here at noon, do like 20 minutes, get back on the 12:25, and be there for puck drop.
Obviously.
I'm a little upset at you that you didn't do that, especially since I was coming by today. But it's always good to see to talk to you, buddy. How was Wah today? Was he a little cooled off from yesterday? Because I thought what I was just telling Shawnee, one of the things I love so much about this guy is that he tells you exactly how you feel all the time. And it's been a long time since you heard an Islander coach be as passionate as he was after that loss yesterday. Was he cooled off a little bit, or was he still steaming a bit?
Yeah, he was cooled off, but he was adamant with watching the line changes, what's not working. I think you saw yesterday during his press conference. I wouldn't call him, but he was very direct with, we messed up, played terrible, X, Y, Z happened. He called this team, all this accountability has been the biggest thing since come to the door. So definitely a little more cooled off. He knows how big this game is. He said this is such an important game, and we have to do better than we've done over the last couple of years. I mean, the Islanders have 16 games to go. They're out of a playoff spot. The Rangers are very comfortably in the playoff spots. This game, for any team or for the Islanders, when you lose to the Ottawa Senators, you got to steal one against the top dog.
There's no doubt, Stefan. And let's talk a little bit about this strange afternoon curse that the New York Islanders seem to have. They always seem to struggle in these day games, whether it's in a football stadium or in a hockey arena. You have back-to-backs here. Obviously, yesterday didn't go their way with the 12:30 start against Ottawa. It looked good to start, and then, of course, they end up blowing that second point. So 1 o'clock here against the Rangers. It didn't go their way in New Jersey. Has it ever come up, you know, with the staff or even with the players, like, hey, how come you guys seem to have a hard time getting up for these afternoon games?
Yeah, it has, and they don't know what the reason is. We've talked to a lot of the guys who like afternoon, like, you know, walking outside where it's sunny outside, in the day, the evening, the nighttime, to relax with their family. So they know what's happening. See, I don't think it's something where you can point to just one thing. The team plays, every team plays that game. For some reason, the Islanders are just one of the worst teams to hit. So yeah, not sure what it is. Maybe it's a little bit of a mental where one afternoon game, like a win today, kind of that. But yeah, they don't know what the reason is. It just so happens that every time they do that. It's the same way you could say, you know, the back-to-backs. The Islanders are 0-7, I think, or 0-8 now. I think it's 0-7 on second back-to-backs. Every team plays second legs of back-to-backs. So the Islanders just can't win one.
Which is such a change from a couple of years ago when they were absolutely dominant on the second half of back-to-backs under Barry. I mean, it just...
Yeah, under Trotz, yeah.
Yeah, they were so good at it. Steph, you know, Barzal is such a creature of habit, right? Like, he knows who he's with all the time. He knows he's always the top line. He knows he's always the... How's he going to adjust to look? They're more a top six. There's not really an A and B. They have two lines. But him not being on that quote-unquote top line going into today, do you think it fires Matty up a little bit here this afternoon, especially against a team that he always plays well against?
Yeah, I think, again, it's this whole accountability thing. I think that line, the Barzal, Horvat, Nelson, and Barzal wasn't shooting that much with those mates. He seemed a little passive playing that way. So I think this goes to show that Patrick Roggen owes nothing to these players. Came in, he made the line changes he made, but listen, he needs Barzal a little better. Maybe playing alongside Barzal and Lee allows Barzal to be the sole factor of that line, whereas with Nelson, obviously those guys are the goal scorers, which takes away from being able to, you know, do everything he wants to do out there. So I think the accountability that he needs Barzal to be better. And two, Lefkvar's up first with two different line mates. Pageau, I think Roy really trusts Pageau. Yes, they're both French Canadian, but he used Pageau on a lot of different goals. I think Barzal has worked well with Anders Lee in the past. For I think the last year under Trotz, he separated those guys, which was like, oh my God, how can they be doing this? So I think getting him back to a player like Lee, where Barzal can really control the offense of that line, allow him to get a spark. But I think it's more on the top line what's going on, where Horvat and Nelson have really clicked, and Palmieri has been the best, I think, since Wallace come through the door. So I think that line should definitely spark early. We'll see if Barzal and Pageau and Lee can follow.
Stefan, it's perfect that you brought up Palmieri, because that's exactly who I wanted to talk about. Just generally speaking, we've talked about the better year that he's had. Obviously, his most productive year, regular season as a New York Islander. And I know a lot of that's been attributed to Patrick Waugh, but what's happened since Waugh's taken over for Kyle Palmieri that he's looked even better than he did before he took over? What has him going so well this season?
Yeah, first of all, his health. This is his first year that he's actually been healthy. And yes, he suffered an injury before or during training camp, which kept him out a couple of days. What you're seeing from Palmieri now is obviously he's ultra confident, but also he's using him on the penalty kill as well. And Palmieri told me the other day that the penalty kill, it's tough to get used to after not playing it for a while, but I think the trust that Watt showed in Palmieri has just been oozing with confidence that, listen, we want you to just be a scorer. We want you to crash in there. We want you to kill penalties. We want you to be a front of the power play. And right now, again, everything Palmieri is doing is usually going in for the goal against Ottawa yesterday. I mean, that's a goal scorer's goal. And I think being with the line mates he's been with, but now going up to the top line, I just think Palmieri's found his game again, which, again, it's hard to find your game when you're out of the lineup for often periods of time. And again, when it's head injuries as well. So I think a combination of the health, a combination of trust, and just getting a couple of goals to fall really has Palmieri playing the best least since he's come to Long Island.
Haven't seen Matt Martin play a straight back-to-back, correct me if I'm wrong, Stefan, all year, or at least four months, somewhere in that area.
He was out of the lineup for a while, yeah. And I know in L.A., he didn't play the second of the back-to-back, and Wah said he was doing something just, he dealt with something all year, and we thought it was best, and we talked to Martin after in Buffalo, and he said, yeah, I feel completely fine, this is something I'm dealing with, second of the back, it's tough. So I thought, okay, he's probably not going to play today. Plus, he's not making any line changes outside of the goaltending. So it is an interesting point. Again, I think maybe getting a guy like Hudson Fastin, who played pretty good that way. I know he missed an odd man rush that ended up being a goal the other way. But Fastin looked good in his first game back after missing 15. So it is an interesting. We have Wallace coming up in about 7 minutes. Maybe Fastin does come in and Wallace just didn't fix that. But we'll see. But yeah, I don't think it's smart to have Martin playing the second back, just because whatever he's dealing with is something that clearly wasn't good enough to play against LA. How does that make it okay with him to play against the Rangers? But we'll see. It also depends, I guess, on how he's feeling too.
Well, right. Like magically 6 days later, we're not so worried about these things anymore. Because he said no lineup changes, right? Wasn't that kind of the word that he said?
Again, was more of a shock to me. He said no lineup changes outside
the That would mean he'd be playing.
Again, yeah, or warm-ups come, you know, Rob Fortier's out there, and we see Hudson Fastin out there, and, you know, you never know what's happening.
I suppose that's true. Well, Stefan, I'm going to give you one more. Another player I want to focus on.
Yeah.
Pierre Engvall, he was kind of a whipping boy for Lane Lambert. Obviously found himself in and out of the lineup a couple of times. Maybe a little bit of a hot streak, a little bit of a cold streak here and there for him where he goes a little quiet. And it looks like he's been a little better under Patrick Waugh. I think he was sat once by Waugh since he took over, if memory serves. Have you seen any change, any difference in his game, and obviously with the new line he's been on?
Yeah, I love the new line. I think him and Holmstrom have worked really well together. They're calling out the fish connection. Patrick Waugh has copyrighted that, so no one can steal it. But they played well. Again, Engvall is playing his best hockey when he's going north. And a lot of times under Lane, he ended up going south or tried to go east-west. Now with that line, too, especially with the speed of Suzuki, so even Holmstrom can get up there. He has speed to cook. Brock Nelson's not a slow skater, but he wasn't the fastest. Kyle Palmieri wasn't the fastest. I think Engvall has the power to be that transitioner, but also have options. Again, Cizikas, first game they played or wherever they scored a goal, Cizikas was the third player in the zone. Or the last time Cizikas could ever say he was a third player. When it's Cizikas on the fourth line, he's the only option in the zone on the rush. So I think Engvall has complimented Cizikas and Holmstrom well. Again, Walk probably went in and said, listen, Engvall, you go north. Stop going south, because when he goes south, gets into trouble, turns the puck over and gets benched. So I think that's just what it is, just keeping it simple.
For sure, Stefan. Look, I know you got to catch warm-ups over there. I want to thank you so much for just calling in here while you're there at MSG covering the game. Appreciate it, and we'll see you next week, bud.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it, man. All right, folks, that was Stefan Rosner, co-host of Hockey Night New York, and of course, Islander columnist and writer for the Hockey News and NHL.com, doing a great, great job. So good stuff there from Stefan. Did you learn anything, Mike?
I always learn something when you listen to Steph talk. I always learn something. I always love that part I asked him about Martin, where I always love how something's a concern, and then magically 6 days later, it's not a concern anymore. I always love that stuff, especially when we get in the crunch. If it was my decision,
time,
I actually wouldn't be playing him today.
Okay.
I wouldn't be playing him in a back-to-back.
Okay, so, and what do you think of Hudson Fashing? I don't think I've ever got the Mike Carver opinion on Hudson Fashing.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
It's
very neutral.
I don't really love Engvall.
Do you care to expand on that? Or?
I don't think he gives much. I just really don't. I don't think he's that good. Let's just put it right out there. And I know it's like 8 years and one and
he's
a
gonna
half
be here for a while.
He's gonna be here for a long time.
Yeah. Him and Scott Mayfield.
Waste.
Oh, waste. Okay. Strong words. All right. Well, before we dive into a little what's on tap, I'm gonna tell you guys about Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington Village on Long Island's North Shore. Games for sale and for open play. Food and drink, beer and wine, fun and friends. Bring the magic of phones down, eyes up, tabletop board games to your family. Our staff will help you find the right game from old favorites to the hottest new releases. We have everything from strategic to easy party games. Get off your screens for a night. Your family will remember. Looking for meetups to join our Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Locana, and organized play communities are welcoming for all. We also do parties and corporate events. Located at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village, go to mainstboardgamecafe.com for more information. Main Street Board Game Cafe. Find your crowd. Unplug your game. And now let's do a little What's on Tap.
It's time for What's on Tap, brought to you by A1 VIP Entertainment.
That's right, folks. It's time for What's on Tap. We're going to fly through this because we are up against the gun with the 1 p.m. puck drop. But we got a busy week here for the New York Islanders starting today, 1 p.m. MSG, Madison Square Garden in Manhattan against the Rangers. Maybe a little revenge for the stadium series here. This is a big 2 points. If you were listening at the top of the show, MC said this is a must win. The Islanders better get 2 points out of this game.
Every game is a must win.
Every game.
When you're in this position of the season, every game is a must win. I don't think they'll get 2 points today.
I'm a little nervous myself, but I'm waiting for the Rangers head boys to come up here so we can talk about that a little more.
All right, good.
Yes,
good.
Indeed. All right, Tuesday, Carolina, always a tough game, 7-2-1 in their last 10. This is a team that the Islanders are pretty familiar with in the playoffs, and of course, as a Metro foe, what do you see out of that game?
Back-to-back games where you can't listen to Brendan and Butch either, by the way.
Is that
That's
right?
That's a national TV game.
Oh, wow.
As well.
Okay.
That's an ESPN
That's
Plus
unfortunate.
Exclusive on Tuesday.
Oh, fair enough. Look
After
at you. He knows the programming.
I know what's going on. Believe me, I care more about that in the travel than the actual team. No,
okay.
I'm just kidding. But they never win in that building, ever.
Okay.
Never win in that building.
Yeah, it's tough.
What you're going to do after that, that's where they need to start creeping it back up.
Okay.
They have games after that that's where they really have to start going.
All right, so, I mean, you're talking a big 4 points out of those two teams, but you're saying it may not happen at all.
Two out of four.
Okay. I guess it doesn't matter how you get them because they're not even going to catch up in the regulation wins
could
as
be,
it is.
Could
so.
Be 1-1. Could be 0-2.
Could be 0-2. Yeah, could be. Thursday, big game. Huge game in Detroit.
That's a win.
You're
That's
calling it.
It's a win.
Okay. There you have it, folks. Put your bets in play.
Put them in.
The New York Islanders are going to beat the Red Wings on Thursday.
Probably get the Islanders like plus 130 that night, so that's a win.
All right, Detroit has been struggling as of late. I think they only have 3 wins in the last 10. They did win their last contest, but a team that's struggling to the benefit of the Islanders, who's having some struggles of their own. So, big game there. Carver's guaranteeing 2 points, so put the house on it. There you have it.
Guaranteed.
Saturday, Winnipeg, another dreaded afternoon game. 1 p.m. start. This is one of the top teams in the Western Conference.
I've been telling you about these afternoon games for years.
You have, it's true.
They're the worst. There is nothing worse than afternoon hockey. But for anyone, not just the Islanders.
Okay, across the board, fine. But why is it such a problem for the Islanders? Because somebody has to win these games and it's never the Isles.
You're right about that.
Right?
Somebody does win.
Yeah.
It's never them. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't.
But I would rather just stand on the rock of, I think they all suck. I can't stand any afternoon hockey
game. All right.
I think it's a watered down, guys aren't in the normal routine. It's a watered down game. They're sleepy. They need their, these guys, they love the morning skate, the nap, the meal, go back to the rink. They need this stuff.
Sure, routine. They
don't get that with these afternoon games.
That's true. Okay, and then Sunday, how do you feel about 5 p.m. games?
Those are okay.
They're all right.
Yeah, those are all right.
So 4 and below, 4 and later, 3 and later?
3 and later.
3 and later?
3 and later.
All right, fair enough. So 5 o'clock Sunday against the Devils, who everybody thought was going to be a Stanley Cup contender this year. Tanked. Defense, injuries, goaltending.
It's a win.
It's a win. Another guarantee from Mikey Carver.
It's a win.
So they're going at least 2 for 4, 2 for 5 here, I guess.
They have to.
That's a fair point.
But that's what all these teams are going to do this week. That's what they're going to do all the way to the end of the season.
Okay.
Be win 2, lose 1. Win 1, lose 2. Win
you're
two,
probably
lose
right.
One.
I wouldn't mind another 6-game winning streak,
that's
honestly.
That's the roller coaster that you're going to live on for the next month. Right
okay.
There.
All right. We shall see. So, folks, that was our rapid fire What's on Tap. Busy, busy week for the New York Islanders. It starts today in about a half hour, 1 p.m. at the Garden against the New York Rangers. And now let's go in to the hero of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear this song, that means it's time for the Hero of the Week, brought to you by the Blue Line Deli and Bagels Half Price Hero, which this week is the White Whale, featuring chicken cutlet, gravy, onion rings, bacon, fresh mozzarella on a toasted garlic hero. That's right, it is delicious. Stop on in to Blue Line Deli this week, mention Hockey Night New York, and get half off the White Whale. Now, Mikey, I know we didn't have any prep here for you for the Hero of the Week, and I didn't prep a photo for you, so I'm hoping you picked the guy that I picked. But I'm going to start, and I'm going to go with Bo Horvat. Now, this was a rough week to find any heroes. I'm going all the way back to Anaheim, all right?
There's got to be, like, you got to have some kind of graphic that you use when no one deserves a hero. You get a picture of the head guy, the head training staff, the head of the training staff? Get his picture. He's the hero of the week when they have a week like this.
Well, I will say we have gotten creative in the past, and we've done things like that. Like, pick somebody, you know, off the board, off the wall here. But, you know, if you're really including the week, they did have that big win against Anaheim. I'm going all the way back, and
sure.
I'm diving into there.
Sure.
Bo Horvat had the goal and an assist in that game. Obviously a big, 6-1 win against the Ducks there. He gets the game-tying goal yesterday to send it to overtime, even though he takes the penalty in overtime.
Yes, he's up.
Well, how did you feel about that call in overtime?
I don't like calling penalties in overtime unless
okay.
you absolutely two-hand somebody with a slash or through the
because
back.
He wasn't happy with it. He didn't like the call.
I mean, they rarely do.
They rarely say, you know what, good call. I'm going to go to the box.
I never say that.
Right.
I think that in overtime, and maybe this is more for playoff overtime,
yeah.
you got to decapitate somebody for me to give you a penalty. It's a little bit more. I'm sure they're a little stricter in the regular season,
right.
But in playoff overtime, I would never blow a whistle.
Yeah, they usually do swallow them. We are familiar with that. So you're going no hero here.
No hero.
Zero hero.
The white whale's the hero.
The white whale is the hero. There you go.
Biggest mistake I ever made, not trademarking that.
Yeah, I mean, that really took it. Well, that's why we chose it for today, because you were the man. You were the man who came up with the name.
I created that.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Blue Line Donnie will be here at some point. He did say he was coming, but, you know, he's been known to be a liar, so.
Yes.
We'll see. So there you have it. Bo Horvat is my hero of the week, and nobody is Mike Carver's hero of the week.
I said the training staff, the head trainer.
That's right. The head trainer, absolutely.
You know what? No, I'm going to change my mind.
Please, go ahead.
Patrick Waugh is my hero of the week.
Okay, we don't have a graphic for him.
Because he tells it like it is.
He does. You know what? What's interesting about that, he was all happy-go-lucky for a while. He was positive after every game. He's finally starting to say, yeah, we should
have
been better.
Now he's giving him the business.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I like that.
The honeymoon's over.
I like that after the Buffalo loss and after yesterday's loss, he gave him the business. So he's my hero of the week.
I love it. We'll just pretend that we have a photo for the viewers at home that we have a photo of Patrick Waugh. All right, so before we break for the Rangers Ed Boys, I'm going to tell you all about Isles Fix. Islanders Country, get your daily fix of Isles news, highlights, and analysis by subscribing to Isles Fix, the only Monday through Friday Islanders newsletter sent directly to your inbox. Sign up for free or become a paid subscriber for added benefits at islesfix.substack.com. And with that, we're going to take one more break, and then Coach Ed and Little Ed from the Rangers Ed podcast are going to join us. We're going to talk some New York Strangers changes. And New York Rivalry, thanks for tuning in to twitch.tv/hockeynightny. We'll be right back.
Attention all artists, storytellers, and creators of all kinds. It's time to make your content stand out above the rest. And Floored Media is the place to make your visions become a reality. Maybe you want to elevate your podcast and add some video, or turn that novel you wrote into an audiobook. Or maybe you just need the right space to produce your daily vlog. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or just starting out, and no matter the project, Floored Media has the professional facilities, exceptional staff, and intimate atmosphere to breathe life into your creative passions at every step of the process. If it's engineering, production, live streaming, or post-production, you name it, Floored Media does it all. Conveniently located in the heart of Rockville Center and only a 30-minute ride from New York City on the Long Island Railroad, your creative incubator awaits. Go to floredmedia.com for more information and email contact@floredmedia.com for packages, rates, and availability. Hone in on your unique voice and start your project with Floored Media.
Hey there, welcome back. We missed you too. Now kick up your feet and sound like it.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We're hanging at RJ Daniels in Rockville Center for Islanders Rangers. Big tilt today at 1 p.m. when we brought in some Stranger fans over here. The fellas from Rangers Ed Podcast. We got Coach Ed. We got Little Ed. Fellas, how you been?
We are doing great. Rangers are hopping. They had one little speed bump in Tampa, but it's good to see you guys again. My favorite Islander fans.
My favorite Stranger fans, that's for sure. Still a little traumatized from the Stadium Series game, but we did have a lot of fun with you guys. That was a big event, a lot of fun. How have the Rangers been performing since that game?
They've been pretty hot. They've been very hot. They're going back to playing the right way, and yeah, Laviolette's got them on the right track.
I mean, that win against Carolina to me was a big one. That's like a play well preview style.
Yeah. Okay.
They kind of hit that speed bump against Tampa. They got caught off guard and they couldn't catch back. But we'll see how they go today. Today's a big one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of playoff style hockey as of late. So going to look at today's game to be very competitive for sure.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's definitely a big one for the Islanders. You guys get to make them a little more nervous if they drop this one. So this is a big 2 points for the Isles. But you guys, the Rangers made some moves at the deadline. You brought in Wennberg and a couple of depth position guys there. How have they looked since they've come over?
I mean, Wennberg's been playing steady, just like he was touted as being that steady third line center. He's been involved in a few pretty good goals and setups. Not getting points, but making the right plays when you need to make them on the ice. Strong faceoffs and all that good garbage, you know.
Okay.
I think Rossovic, he's starting to fit in well on the first line with Zibanejad and Kreider. He's a very smooth skater and very smooth stick handler, so the more confidence he has in New York, I think the better he's going to play. I love Wennberg's style of play. He's been great forechecker, like Coach Ed said, all the stuff that you look for in a hockey player. And Drury just made those like small key moves. You know, they didn't go after any of the big names, and I think he got his guys. They've been doing well.
But that's the big thing. Because everybody always wants the big splashy moves.
Right.
Like last year, you did the big splashy moves. Patrick Kane, you know, it doesn't work all the time. You look at all these teams that make the big splashy moves. It's the grease. It's the sandpaper. It's the stuff that you get on the third and fourth line. And you saw it in that Carolina game. That's a game that opens up my mind.
Yeah.
Because that's the team. It's going to be Rangers and Carolina in that second round.
Yeah.
You're going to get them there. And those are the kind of games. Is what it is.
I know.
You guys were all right with not going with the splashy move.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you should have seen Rangers Twitter, Kako, first round pick.
Oh, I see it.
For like Jason Zucker, it's just like, yeah. I mean, we've been covering it on our show nonstop. I mean, Drury made the right moves, like we said, yeah.
So, fellas, let's talk a little bit about Artemi Panarin. I don't think anybody's within, 30 points on that squad? He's running away with the points lead on that team. 93, I think he has going into today. What's been driving that force here for him this season?
I didn't hear that. What did you say last?
What has him playing so well?
I mean, I think he's got that chip on his shoulder for the last 2 years, but again, I've been saying it for 2 or 3 years. He's got to do it in the playoffs. That's where it's going to mean something.
Right.
Look, we need him to do that to get there, of course. It's obvious. But if you don't perform in the playoffs, that's going to be his stigma. You know, he's got to show in the playoffs, and it's got to happen. Otherwise, they're not going to go anywhere.
Sure.
And it's, yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, as of now, obviously, he's playing great hockey. I think him and Trocheck are clicking. I mean, you saw a little bit of it last year. But now this year, Trocheck feels more comfortable. Panarin feels comfortable. And Laffey drives a lot of that offense, too. He has a lot of confidence out there, and he's a great forechecker, and he's just been mixing well with that line. And like I said, everything just clicking.
Just to go staying with performing in the playoffs, and obviously Panarin's a big one with that, but Shesterkin's a big part of that as well. What have you guys thought, because the rumblings have been out there this year. This guy doesn't want it that much. This guy doesn't have the drive. He doesn't care as much. Like, the Russian goaltenders always have, like, this little look. I've already seen that guy win some playoff games. So I don't think it's a fair narrative to paint on the guy. What do you guys think about all of that talk that they have about?
I mean, I kind of agree with it. They seem to, by eye test, they look like they don't care. Even Panarin has that to me. Like, he just gives up on certain plays.
I agree with Panarin.
You know what I'm saying? But I think to get to that level, you have to have that competitive nature. Does he have the same competitive nature as Lundqvist? I don't know that. I don't know in person. You know, you don't know yet. You got to know over 10 years.
He might not have the same as Jonathan Quick.
Maybe not.
But he's a hell of a lot better than him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Naturally. But the way he's come back, like in the last three games, I texted my nephew. I'm like, he's got the zone now. A lot of people don't realize goaltending is a lot of anticipation of seeing what's coming at you without the puck. And right now, he's seeing everything. How he got there, I don't know. He was losing it for a while, but he's back. So we'll see how he does getting into the playoffs.
So let me ask you guys this. Obviously, a great season for the Rangers so far. You talk about the Panarins, the Zibanejads, it's just Shesterkins. Who's been an under-the-radar guy for this team, an unsung hero that's been helping to drive the success for the Rangers?
I mean,
someone you're not talking about enough.
I got to go with my boy Johnny Brzezinski. I think he signed that extension. I think he's we're a big forecheck family over here. So I think he does his job. And like I said, he's just everything you look for in a hockey player. I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot there. Maybe Coach Ed has a better one.
I mean, I got to go with Trocheck.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the last 2 years he was a very good player, but clearly every analytics they show on NHL Network, everything, he stepped up his game. And I mean, yeah, you could say anybody could play with Panarin and succeed, but he's succeeding, making plays that you don't see often. He's just, to me, stepped up his game another two steps from where it was in the past.
I didn't count him as an under-the-radar player, so.
Well, I mean,
we all knew
his ability, that he was a steady guy, but I think he stepped it up even further, in my opinion.
And you also you mentioned already Jonathan Quick. I mean, when Shesterkin went on his slide, went on his slide, like, he stepped up and kept the Rangers at the top of the standings, you know? And
he has been excellent this year for the Rangers, especially when you consider the fall off in Los Angeles, going to Vegas, didn't even play. I mean, they didn't even want him to play. And how he stepped up, and now they've given him even a longer deal.
So
now he gets extended. Laviolette, did you like it when they hired him? Do you love him now? And do you want to fire him after the year no matter what? Because it's always downhill after the first year. So how do you want to do it?
I mean, yes, I love them hiring him. I love what he's doing now. I listen to 9 out of 10 of his press conferences. You know, it comes down to the players responding to the coach. So far, they're responding. When they had Gallant, the same thing. He's got the same reputation. But Laviolette has won a cup, and he's been to the finals again. I think he's got the horses. I think as a pair with Drury, and I was just talking to one of our fans, they got an all-star coaching staff. They got Michael Pekka, which you guys are very familiar with.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
Phil Housley. These kids are using that to their advantage, and I think you see it all game on the screen. They're constantly talking to the guys in-game and making adjustments. That's a big part of it. So Laviolette with those two guys, they can't fire them if they don't win it this year. That's crazy.
I know they're not going to, but you look at whenever he goes somewhere, and look, he's been at like 9 places since he won the cup. And I love Peter Laviolette. I thought it was a great hire for you guys. But every place he goes, there's huge right out of the gate, and then it slowly goes down. It just, it's everywhere he's been. So, and you know that, so that's why you gotta move quick. Gotta get one
strike
cup out
while
of him,
the iron
get a cup out
hot.
Of him, and get him out.
Right. I will say one thing, that Coach Ed was, the only time Coach Ed was ever jealous of the Islanders is when Laviolette was their coach.
Huh.
So,
okay.
That's the only time I can think of it in my life.
Second
sure.
best coach they've had in the last 30 years.
That's so. A fact. That is a fact. Well, the jury's still out on Patrick Wall, but I'm feeling pretty good about that.
For now, it's still, he's
so,
still the second best coach.
So, fellas, and I think Laviolette's coached like all but like two teams in the Metro at this point.
Yeah.
I think he only needs like one or two teams. He's got them all. But look, today might be, we'll see, it could end up being a preview of a first round series in the playoffs if things fall the right or wrong way. So my question to you guys is, do you dread the Islander Ranger first round playoff series, or do you embrace it? Do you want to see it?
I'm going to go ahead and embrace it. I mean, I think the Rangers match up well against the Islanders. Okay. I mean, we saw it in the Stadium Series, the big comeback win. When they play the right way, I think I'm not really afraid of anybody. I mean, I know that sounds very cocky, but when the Rangers are all buzzing, when they have all their horses, when Shesterkin's in net playing his best, they're going to be a very hard team to beat.
I mean, Sorokin against Shesterkin in the playoffs is going to be crazy. That's what it's going to come down to. If those two teams play, it's who's going to be focused.
But I like that you guys are embracing
it. Yes.
Because you should embrace it.
Absolutely.
And I think there's too many fans on both sides
who
don't want anything to do with it. And honestly, obviously the younger ones have never seen it.
Right.
So they don't know. I mean, I was 14, 13. You know, we were 14, 13 years old in 94.
That was a long time ago.
That's the last time it's happened. And it was such a disaster for sure.
Memory,
fan.
Honestly.
But I think that the Islander fan is obviously scared because they don't want to lose to the Rangers. The Ranger fan can be scared because of the big brother, little brother stuff, losing to the Islanders. You got to embrace it because it would be the best 2.5 weeks in this area for hockey that anyone has ever seen, period, since 1994.
Well, results will be like a 94
no,
when they sweep them.
No,
all right, come
that.
On.
And we do not
let's
want
relax
that.
Here.
And we can have more, and we can have more events
listen,
like this.
Listen, there's
too,
a big
so
difference fun. Between Ron Hextall Stolen Ilya Sorokin, all right? We're not going to see 6-7 goals put up on the board, so you can put
so.
That dream away.
I don't think so. Well, speaking of that, I mean, that, I think that's going to be a big difference in today's game. I think Sorokin and Shesterkin both were a little, lack of a better word, embarrassed of letting up that many goals each in the Stadium Series. So I'm looking for both of them to really shut the door today, so it's going to be a battle.
There you go. I'm excited about it. I embrace it. I hope we see Islanders Rangers. I mean, first round would be amazing, and I think just like the regular season, and I would assume you guys agree. That
second round would be better.
Second round would be much better. But I'm not getting greedy here. Let's
first,
I'll take the first round. Second round would be wonderful. But listen, I think you guys might agree here that when the Islanders and Rangers, you know, match up against each other, you know, no matter where they are in the standings, all bets are off with how those games go. And I think, now listen, on paper, you guys, the Rangers are obviously going to be the favorites. You know, people are going to be picking them for 4, 5, 6 games to win the series without question. But if it happens, I think you can throw some of that away because there's just something special about the Islanders and Rangers getting together where it doesn't matter what the standings look like, what the stats look like. It's just going to be a hell of a series where it could end up going deep and long, and I think anybody can win that.
Yeah, I agree. For sure.
Yeah, it's going to be whatever the teams are, it feels like the Islanders are always competitive against the Rangers, and you always have to worry. So it'll be scary.
It'll come down to the Rangers' offensive forces versus the Islanders' defensive structure. Which one will prevail? It'll be hard to see.
And they're going
to
win this division, right? The Rangers going to win the division?
I picked them to win the Metro before the season started, and I was in the minority there.
I have a bet on them before the season started.
Did you? Okay.
To win the Metro. So I'd like to cash that.
You want to admit that on an Islanders show?
Listen, whoever puts money in my pocket, it's
well, that's what I love about you guys. You're realists. It's a good pick.
Listen,
you know,
it is
unfair.
The number was too good. It was like plus 350 or something like that.
Yeah.
And at least we can all agree that how good is it to see the Devils tanking?
Problem with it. I'm not upset about it. I mean, that came out of nowhere. I mean, they were picked as cup favorites this year.
Yep.
And anything and everything went wrong. I mean, Murphy's Law
too
really took out the
fast.
Devils.
Too much too fast with the Devils.
I guess so.
Last year was a Big win, but too much too fast.
And now you can say that Lou Lamoriello is a devil plant in Islander Town, but you got Tom Fitzgerald and Travis Green, former 90s Islanders, running the show over in the Devils now, over in the Swamp, so that's kind of funny. But
just a funny nugget, you know?
It is a funny nugget.
Travis Green taking over the coaching
reins. Well, the problem was they thought that, you know, when you have no goaltending, you can't win. Teams win
how
the cup
they
now
addressed
with
that
no
yet.
Name goaltenders.
You know what? It reminds me of the Flyers back in the 90s, like back in the Lindros years and all that. Remember when they had those big, you know, stack lines, and they were always the favorite to go deep into the East, but they never had the goaltending. Funny enough, back then they had guys like Gar Snow and stuff like that. They just never had the guy between the pipes to win them hockey games, and I guess that's what's happening with the Devils now. But speaking of the playoffs, is there anybody, I guess particularly in the East, that you guys, I know you said just before you're not afraid of anybody, but if there was somebody you could avoid, somebody you might dread, and maybe even out West, is there somebody, you know, out there in the league where if the Rangers are going to get deeper into the playoffs, you're like, I want no part of those guys?
I mean, Tampa's always that threat.
Okay.
We saw that the other night against them. So, I mean, like I said, if the Rangers are playing at their best, which they did in the first period against Tampa, if they're playing at their best, they can handle anyone. But Tampa, just with their pedigree and their history, you can't shake them
Tampa's
off.
Tampa's always kryptonite.
It's tough.
Everybody has those one or two teams that, for whatever reason, whether you can change the rosters, change the coach, change anything, they always give you a hard time. And I feel like Tampa's absolutely been that for the Rangers for the longest time.
And Vasilevsky's on, like, a little bit of a skid right now, but he could just snap out of it at any point and just be a wall.
Well, they beat Florida last night, too.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
Top two teams in the East.
Yeah.
Top two of the top.
They know when to turn it on.
I think I would be, assuming Tampa doesn't make it, because they may not, I'm going to go with the Avalanche and tough.
Okay.
Edmonton.
Yeah, a little bit of an arms race out West there at the deadline.
I'll go Edmonton. That's a tough team to defend.
Okay.
Out in the first round.
Out in the first round. And then maybe they'll trade McDavid over the summer. He'll
West
be fed up. He'll be finished.
McDavid will be in a Rangers jersey by the end of his career.
You know, I hate to say it, but like, I know it's a joke, but like, you're like, you know, 20% like,
it's
not
true.
Wrong. You know, I like, and I hate it, but it might happen because it's just, you guys, I said this, I whine to you guys about this all the time. The Rangers get whoever the hell they want.
Now the rumor is Crosby might come over, you know, so.
Stop it.
Third line center.
So we're within 10 minutes to go to puck drop here. Ed, you got a question or two there for us and questions brewing? We got something
going
on there.
We do.
So why don't we go over to questions brewing and then fire it out there?
We do. Why don't we go with this one? It's a nice round table from Thomas Panic.
Ooh. Hey, now.
We're a little loud there.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Go ahead, buddy. What do you got?
Thomas Panic wants to know what all of our predictions are for the game.
Okay. Well, let's start with the Rangers, Ed, guys. I know Coach has 7-2 Rangers, so go ahead.
I'm going to go 4-2 Rangers. 4-2.
Okay.
I say 3-1 Rangers.
3-1 Rangers. Oh, man. I can't disappoint my people
game, like
here.
I said.
I'm going to say 3-2. Shootout win for the Islanders. 3-2 shootout win.
I'm going 4-3 Islanders.
What else?
Okay. 2-1 Rangers in overtime.
Oh, God.
You know, I just can't sit here and host this Islander show. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I'm not feeling good about this game for the Islanders.
You shouldn't
be feeling good about it.
But one, it's going to be low scoring. Everybody's going to expect a lot of goals over after stadium.
It's going to be a sleepy Sunday.
This will be a tight playoff field type of game. Low scoring, 1-1 in the third period, 2-2 in the third period. It's going to go well under 6.
All right, I think they're putting it on Patty's day.
It's going to be tough getting you back on the show, Mike, for doing a Ranger prediction. But I appreciate the honesty. I do.
I'm sorry, they're playing a team.
No, I understand it. I do.
Got to be honest sometimes. Got to be honest.
I really do. Ed, you got anything else for us?
Yeah, we have Tom Boyle.
T. Boyle.
He says, do you see the Rangers winning the President Trophy?
I know you hope they don't.
Well, that's why I'm glad that Tom brought this question up, because you can answer his question, and then do you want to win the President's Trophy? Do you care?
I'm fine with right where they are. Win the East. Win their division.
Uh-huh.
Let Florida or Colorado, let someone else take the President's Trophy. But went to the playoffs.
It does seem to be cursed.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really something they did. They did it in, what, 2015? And then they lost in the first round, or the second round against Tampa, right? So, I mean, I don't believe in, like, the whole jinx thing. It's not something that, like, they should really care about or target. Just play hockey. I mean, Florida's going to keep going. Avalanche or whoever else. If they want to win it, let them win it. But like Coach Ed said, win the division. So
didn't they win it in 94 when they won the cup? Didn't they win the President's Trophy?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Were they the last team to do
it?
Or did Colorado do it?
Blackhawks. Blackhawks in 13 were the last ones to win. Yeah. Okay. So it's been 10 years since some 10, 11
so,
years.
So yeah, maybe as an Islander fan, you don't want the Rangers to win the President's Trophy because that could be a bad omen.
I hope they win it.
Because you think it'll tank the playoffs.
They won't win the cup.
But see, I don't know, because they won it in 94, and then they won, you know.
Yeah, but they did win it.
I mean, none of this matters.
We're on too good of a reverse streak here. The team that wins it doesn't win the cup,
too, right? They won it with Lundqvist 1 year, too, when they did it in 2015.
Okay, all right, so then we'll go with recent history here. All right, fair enough.
We're going to go with it doesn't mean anything.
It absolutely doesn't. So, Ed, do you have one more, or is that it?
We could do another one from Tom.
Why not? Real quick.
So it has to do with firing.
Who are we firing?
Tom Boyle fires always somebody on the show.
Tom Boyle
every week. I'm surprised anybody's
right.
Still employed.
Upper management. So Tom asks, when Lou is fired retires, does Wah take over?
Well, Steph and I have talked about that in the past, and we don't know what's going to happen there. You know, and we've expanded on it before. It seems to me that Lou's job seems safer now than maybe it was earlier in the season. I'll say that way. Well, I guess whatever your opinion might be, it sounds like you don't like Lou too much. I don't mind him. I think he gets a lot more slack than he deserves. But I was personally saying earlier in the year that if they don't make the playoffs, that I wouldn't be surprised if they moved on, just because, look, he's been here now, what, 5-6 years, whatever it's been. It's, you know, you can argue whether it's run its course or not. I mean, it's funny because everybody loves the Patrick Waugh hiring, but nobody's giving him credit for it.
I know.
Nobody's patting him on the back for hiring Patrick
Waugh. It's almost like they think that Ledecky went to Waugh's house and says, you're going to coach the Islanders. I'm not going to tell Lou about it, by the way.
By extension, they're saying, oh, well, he waited too long. You know, and that's a process. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
If you want Wah to still be the coach, then you want Lou to stay. Because this was a Lou move to keep Lou here longer.
Yeah, because that whole dynamic is strange, right? If Lou does leave the Islanders, and he's not getting fired, if he leaves, he's quitting. I say this all the time, or you know, respectfully leaving.
Putting in his papers. Tell you he was fired anyway.
No, for sure.
It'll always
be absolutely
mutually parting ways.
I'm much less inclined at this point in time to say that he's going anywhere after this season. I mean, maybe if they miss the playoffs, we'll see. But anyway, I just don't think he deserves the slack that he gets. But, you know, that's just me. But I think we got to wrap things up.
We got one more from Rangers Ed fan in the chat. Guys,
we got to go quick. Puck drops in 3 minutes. We got to go
real quick. Who will get the most penalties tonight, the Rangers or the Islanders?
I'm going to go with the Islanders. The Islanders' penalty to force the OT on that power play goal, so they're going to be out for blood and be a little reckless, I think.
They're good at taking penalties, the Islanders.
They're good at taking penalties, and they're good at giving up power play goals.
My question to you guys about the GM situation,
sure.
I think the GM coach thing is, that's history. I don't think it's possible anymore with the salary cap.
I hate it. I need somebody doing one job.
I don't think there's any in the league.
I hate it in every sport.
No, I don't think so.
I want one guy coaching the team. I need them on the same page.
Of course.
I need them to like each other.
Yep.
But I don't want the same guy doing both jobs. Those days are over.
Yeah,
there's too much now with all everything that you have to do. You got to have two guys.
Yep.
All right. Well, we got a hockey game to watch, so we got to wrap this up. So, Edzo, why don't you cue that outro music? Love it. All right, folks. Want to thank you all for tuning in to twitch.tv/HockeyNightNY at home. And, of course, a huge thanks to everybody here at RJ Daniels in Rockville Center. I want to send a big thanks to Mikey Carver for being a special guest co-host
today.
Great
being back with you,
great
buddy.
Job, buddy. Great job. And a huge thanks, of course, to the Rangers Ed Podcast Wise guys, Coach and Little Ed. Pleasure having you guys here. We're going to have a lot of fun today. And, folks, if you're hanging out here with us at RJ Daniels, we got raffles, we got prizes, we're going around. We got the information on how much tickets are. We have, what do we got here? Cornhole sets. We got Islander tickets. We got swag. We got merch. We got plenty of stuff going on.
Suitor Sweet Treats.
We got tons of prizes. The information is out there, but definitely get involved with those raffles. And, of course, want to thank our wonderful sponsors, starting with Blue Line Deli and Bagels, located at 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington and 217 Carlson Avenue in East Islip. Check out the menu at BlueLineDeli.com. Also, a big thanks to Main Street Board Game Cafe, located at 307. 107 Main Street in Huntington Village. Find out how to unplug your game at MainSTBoardGameCafe.com. And a big thanks to Razor and Kniff Attorneys in Law. Nobody likes going to court, but if you have to, call 516-742-7600 for a free consultation. And folks, if you like what we're doing here at Hockey Night in New York, remember to rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, spread the word. And if you know any Stranger fan friends, definitely tell them to check out the Rangers Ed podcast. Make sure you check out Mikey Carver on Sports Grid, doing a great job. He's got your numbers for your gamblings and your betting and all that good stuff. So for Edzo, for myself, Sean Cuthbert, for Mikey Carver, for the Rangers Ed boys, we've been Hockey Night New York. I've been Sean Cuthbert. Thanks for hanging out with us. And RJ Daniels, gonna have a great time watching some hockey. We will see y'all next time.